on the cross in front of me. Most of the people there that day thought he deserved it, except those standing beside me, Jesus' mother, my mother, and a couple other women. Had I just wasted 3 years of my life? How could the resurrection and the life be dying? My name is John, the apostle. I was one of the 12 disciples chosen by Jesus along with my brother James. Looking back, I can't believe he chose us. We were so passionate yet reckless. And we were so arrogant. We wanted the highest places of honor in his kingdom. Yet, Jesus saw something in us. And he invited Peter, James, and myself to some special moments in his ministry. One time, I remember a little girl died. And Jesus invited Peter, James, and myself to come along. I still remember going into the house past the mourners, and Jesus took the mother and the father, and we went up into the upper room where the little girl lay, as still as a lake on a quiet early morning. But a few words from his mouth, and life went back into that little girl. So Jesus, with resurrection power, was nothing new to me. But the day that he declared, "I am the resurrection and the life," lots more people saw his resurrection power. We were far away from Jerusalem on the other side of the Jordan when messengers came from Mary and Martha. Their brother Lazarus was sick. We thought Jesus would immediately instruct us to pack up our things and go back to Judea where they lived. Instead, he said, "This sickness will not end in death. It is for the glory of God." So we thought Lazarus must not be that sick. And we stayed there 2 more days until Jesus said, "Let us go back to Judea where they live." Well, the last time we were in Judea, the Jews there had tried to kill Jesus. "Jesus, are you sure this is what you want to do? Remember what happened there?" He said, "Lazarus has fallen asleep, and I go to wake him up." We thought he meant, well, Lazarus was quite ill, and he was going to go and heal him and wake him up again. And Jesus heard our murmuring. So he said to us plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there. Let us go." Lazarus? Dead? Why hadn't we left as soon as the messenger had arrived? In stunned silence, we began the journey back. And when we arrived at the outskirts of the town of Bethany, there were lots of mourners there, and we learned Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Well, in our culture, people believed that if a person died, their soul lingered around the body for 3 days. But after the 3rd day, if it could not find a way back in to reunite with the body, the soul departed. Lazarus was in the tomb 4 days. He was definitely dead. And while we absorbed this news, Lazarus' sister Martha approached. The agony of grief twisted her face. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, he will give to you." "Your brother will rise again," Jesus replied. We knew the teaching of Jesus, that on the last day there would be a resurrection of those who trusted in him to be raised to new life, to live with him forever. We thought Jesus was comforting her with this future hope. Martha knew about this teaching as well. She said, "Yes, Lord, I know that he will be resurrected on the last day." But Jesus would not let it go. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, shall live." "Do you believe this?" he said to Martha. We all stopped because there was another one of those "I am" statements. For us as a people, "I am" was the divine name, God's name. When Moses had asked God, when he was in the burning bush, "What is your name?" When people ask me why I have the authority to lead Israel out of Egypt, "What name shall I say?" And God answered, "I am." And Jesus had used this divine name many times. We'd heard him claim, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. Now I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus was claiming to have the authority to resurrect people and to have resurrection power in him. And I knew it to be true. I'd seen him raise that little girl from the dead. As we pondered these words, Martha's other sister, Mary, approached, saying almost the same thing, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And when Jesus saw how hard she cried, he asked, "Where have you laid him?" So we went over to the tomb. And when Jesus saw how hard everyone was crying, he too wept. Some thought he was weeping because of Lazarus' death, but it looked like he was weeping more because of how hard everyone was crying, as if there was no resurrection. Finally, after composing himself, he said, "Roll away the stone." Martha immediately objected, "Lord, he's been in there 4 days. There will be a bad odor by now." "Did I not tell you," Jesus said to her, "that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" So they rolled away the stone, and immediately the stench of death permeated our nostrils, and everyone covered their faces and noses because it smelled so bad. What was Jesus doing? Then he prayed, "Father, I thank you that you hear me. I know that you always hear me, but I pray this for those standing among me, that they might believe that you have sent me." And then he turned to the tomb and cried out, "Lazarus, come out!" At first, I didn't notice it, but the stench of death began to float away. People began uncovering their noses and mouths. And I thought, if Jesus is really doing this, how on earth is Lazarus going to come out? When we buried our dead, we tied their arms to their body, and we tied their ankles together, and he would have a burial cloth around his face. How would he come out? Then we heard something from the tomb. It sounded like shuffling, like someone walking with very short steps. And there stood Lazarus in the tomb's doorway. Everyone gasped and then didn't dare breathe until Jesus said, "Untie him and let him go." Mary and Martha rushed forward, untied their brother, and felt his skin. Was it real? He was alive. And we all turned to look at Jesus, Lord, the resurrection and the life. But now, the resurrection and the life was dying. Was Jesus able to resurrect others but not save himself? It was horrible watching him twist in agony. And then around noon, things got worse. The sky darkened, the wind picked up, and it seemed like an incredible weight was put upon Jesus' shoulders. The agony increased 100-fold, 1,000,000-fold. It seemed as if the weight of the world was upon him, the weight of our sins, my sin. As the holy God poured out the wrath that we deserved onto his own son on the cross. On and on it went, hour after hour, until I heard the most horrific cry I have ever heard in my life. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus cried. Finally, it seemed to ease, to relief, and the burden was lifted from his shoulders. I heard him rasp out, "I thirst." And a Roman soldier grabbed a stick with a sponge on the end of it, dipped it in sour wine, held it up to the cross, and Jesus took a little. And then with his last breath, I heard him muster his strength and then cry, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The resurrection and the life was dead. How on earth could anyone else be resurrected if he was dead? Well, on Sunday, we got our answer. I was the first disciple at the empty tomb. And after Peter went in, I went in and saw Jesus' burial clothes. But they weren't ripped off. They were folded, as if the resurrection and life had supernaturally passed through those clothes so he could fold them up. I saw the risen Lord. I saw him ascend to heaven. And I knew then that resurrection and life was available to all who believed. But for that hope and joy on Sunday, the agony of what you call Good Friday had to happen. Good Friday's sacrifice resulted in the promise of resurrection and hope on Sunday. So remember today all he suffered for you. Remember that he had the authority to lay down his life. Remember, he did it so that you might have resurrection and life. Remember.